this is Angels broadcaster Trent Rush, and you're listening to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now here's your host, my guy, Taylor Blake Ward.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward, and it's great to have you on this Tuesday. As we do every Tuesday, we have our fan mailbag today. You want to be a part of our fan mailbag, make sure you're following us on Twitter, at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally, at Taylor Blake Ward. That's my personal account. And about 9 o'clock on Monday nights, I send out a tweet saying, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight. Best ones make the show in the morning, and that's what we're doing today. Also, we've added emails to our fan mailbag. If you want to send your question via email, feel free to do so by sending an email to TaylorBlakeWard@Yahoo.com. Also, if you want to download today's show or subscribe to Locked On Angels, you can do so via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcasting platform you're using to listen to today's show. You may or may not be able to tell, but my voice is a little scratchy. I'm not exactly sure why, but we're going to push through. I'm going to do 20 questions today, and it's like the kids game, 20 questions, right? No, we're going to take 20 questions today, and I figure if I can answer each one within a minute, we'll be on good timing. So let's get to your questions, though. We're going to start off with something a little special. For the first time, Locked On Angels has a call-in question. This is coming from Trey Acey out in Salt Lake City, and I'm going to let him ask his questions, and then we're going to explain how Trey was able to call into the show.
Hey, Taylor. This is Trey from Salt Lake City, Utah. I play Tiburones 13U baseball. Thanks for having me on the show today. I have three questions for you today. My first question today is, who do you think is the number one pitching prospect for the Angels this year? The second question is, do you think Joe Maddon will make a huge impact in the playoff race this year for the Angels? Lastly, with the B's manager having another year with the ball club, will they be a better team? Thank you for letting me do this. This is really cool. I've been following the show for a while now.
This was really awesome to do. This is Trey Acey out in Salt Lake. He's a really good first baseman, and he's the son of Paul Acey, who's a photographer for the Salt Lake Bees. And Paul reached out and said, hey, Trey has some questions for you for your fan mailbag. And I said, have him give me a call. He'll be our first caller. This is going to be fun. And I got to say, man, Trey, you need to come take over the show for me, man. That was stellar. The only thing, man, you said one question. I got three of them. I got to tease you a little bit there, Trey. This was really cool. So thanks, Trey, for calling. Thanks, Paul, as well. Let's start off with your questions here, Trey. You said, who is the Angels' top pitching prospect this year? That's going to be Chris Rodriguez, who we had on the show for our Season 3 launch. Chris features a mid-90s fastball, really good curveball-slider combination, working on that changeup a little bit, but he has great control. Finally healthy. That's the biggest thing when it comes to Chris, is he is finally healthy, had a stress fracture in his back, had back surgery about a year ago, I would say 10 months ago as of when we're recording right now. But definitely a guy to keep your eye on. Pretty high-profile arm who profiles really well as a rotation piece of the future. He's athletic, and he can keep his stuff through games. So definitely a guy to keep your eye on. Not sure if he'll hit Salt Lake this year. There is a chance that he may, but I think he's going to start back with High A Inland Empire and make his way up from there. Your second question was, do you think Joe Maddon will make a huge impact on the Angels this year? My opinion is going to be a little different than others. So managers have their say. I think that a manager can dictate whether you're going to win a handful of games or not that you weren't supposed to. I still think the players are the ones that win and lose games. You're maybe going to lose two games or win two games based on some managerial decisions. So, but Joe Maddon's experience and his ability to make decisions, be creative, I think that's going to help the Angels quite a bit. And, yeah, the Angels are a team that on paper looks like a team that could make a playoff push, and Joe Maddon is going to be a very important piece of that. I think a guy that you also want to take a high note on is Mickey Callaway. I think he's going to have a very high mark on what the Angels do this year. And your final question was about Lou Marcin, because it's Lou Marcin's second year as the Bees manager. Will the Bees do better? That's not really up to Lou necessarily. So, you're very familiar with this, Trey. You understand you've been around the dugout with the Salt Lake Bees. And what it is, you know, you look at these AAA, all these minor league teams for the Angels, right? They're focused on developing players and getting these players to be better. Sometimes that means that a player is going to be working on something in the game, and the win or loss is not going to be the focus of the game. It's going to be more on the development of the player. So, Yeah, you're going to see more talent. I'll tell you that. You're going to see Joe Adell. You're going to see Brandon Marsh. You're going to see some pretty high-end players. And I think that's going to be really exciting for you. Also, you're going to see some guys that didn't make the cut from the Angel spring training that are major league guys that are pretty good. I know that you're a big guy on Taylor Cole. I know he's a great guy, and I like Taylor a lot too. But I don't know if you're going to see Taylor Cole. I think he's going to be up with the Angels quite a bit this year. So I think you'll have some fun there. And Trey, this was awesome, man. I really appreciate that you were able to call in. Paul, thank you for setting this up as well. And Trey, we're going to have you back on sometime in the near future. Thanks for asking your questions there, buddy. I want to stay on this Joe Madden part. And this question came in from NM Baseball 52. He asked, Joe Madden said that he was going to tell his guys not to retaliate against the Astros, but will his players actually adhere to this? Based off Andrew Heaney's comments, I think he ends up throwing at the Astros regardless of what he's told. So let's start with Joe Madden talking about not retaliating against the Astros. I think that that's going to be something where that's going to be a closed-door meeting. Obviously, Joe has come out and already said that he does not plan on retaliating against the Astros, wants to tell his players not to. But I think that's going to be a lot of closed-door meetings, one-on-ones in specific situations. When it comes to Andrew Heaney, yes, obviously he's very upset. We talked about his comments last week. And one thing is the Angels get first hack at the Astros, basically. You know, they've got six out of first nine games. Does that sound right? Against the Astros, three in Houston, three at home. I mean, yeah, the Angels can be the first to retaliate. And maybe that's why Joe is coming out and saying this. But, yeah, Andrew, you know, doesn't have to listen. Joe, when it came to the Chicago Cubs, we know that there were some times where communication wasn't the best. But I think that the players really respect Joe Madden, and I think that's going to take a pretty big say. I wouldn't specify any player out of another to say that they will not listen or whatever it is, will not adhere. But I think that for the most part, the pitchers are going to adhere to Joe's comments. I don't think the Angels are going to retaliate, and if they do, it's going to be a one-man mission instead of a team mission kind of item. We've got a literal handful of Tommy La Stella-based questions. I'm going to start with this one from Matthew Narlinger of Northern New Jersey. And Matthew, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your last name. This came from an email. It says, what is the outlook for Northern Jersey's Tommy La Stella? Clearly, the expectations are for him to continue what he started last year prior to the fluke injury. Will he be as solid and be the spark the Angels need? I think that's a big question, Matthew. I think that we saw the adjustments within the box that Tommy made, which kind of aided in his power. But Tommy's always been able to have high contact marks, always been able to get on base at a pretty good clip. So I think that that's going to be the first focus, is have Tommy La Stella still be making contact, still be getting on base, and hope that that contact with the new baseball still comes with some power surge. So I think that's kind of the expectations, is let's get some high contact marks, let's get on base, we're going to put you batting in front of Mike Trout, maybe the two-hole here. And from that point on, you know, let's see if the power does come back. See if you can be a guy that has a 500 slugging percentage or, you know, a giant ISO, be an all-star. And I think that's kind of where you're sitting on Tommy La Stella. It's a big question that we just don't have an answer to until we start playing games and see what he has. That led to this question from John Thad 22. That's JT Wheeler, says, I know you've talked about flipping the lineup a bit, but if you don't bat Fletcher first, would you hit him ninth? I like La Stella at the leadoff spot because he'll see better pitches to square up with Trout behind him. This is another note about Tommy La Stella, is having him bat in front of Mike Trout, he's going to see better pitches. And, you know, being able to square up those pitches with the high contact marks, that's something that's going to benefit Tommy. So I think that that would be great. Whether you put Fletcher at leadoff or Fletcher at ninth, I think that just having that guy constantly rotating through the lineup, you want your leadoff guy to have some speed and be the guy that gets on base the most. David Fletcher does get on base at a good clip, but I think Tommy La Stella is a pretty good leadoff guy, in my opinion. And then have Mike Trout right behind him, and then have Anthony Rendon and Shohei Ohtani. That's not a bad 1-2-3-4 right there. Staying on Tommy La Stella, this one from Tim Player says, will Tommy La Stella be the starting first baseman for the Angels, and how is Artie going to feel about paying a player $30 million to ride the pine? It doesn't sound like Tommy's going to be playing first base this year for the Angels, at least not immediately. I think that's coming on the fact that they're going to move David Fletcher to the outfield a little bit. I think you're going to see David Fletcher platoon around between second base and the outfield. And I think you're going to see Tommy against righties for the most part. Tommy's been good against lefties, but yeah, I don't think he's going to be at first base. And as for how Artie is feeling about paying Albert $30 million a year to ride the pine, Artie got a $500 million TV deal from that contract. So I think he's perfectly content with paying Albert whatever he wants to pay him. Do you think there's a possibility of a platoon at first base from Xavier Forte? Yeah, I do. I don't think Tommy Estella is going to be that guy. I think it's going to be Jared Walsh as a really ideal 26th man on the roster. But even if it's not Jared Walsh, I think you're looking at Taylor Ward or Matt Theis. I think Matt Theis actually would be a really good addition there. But yeah, I think it's down to two or three guys for that platoon. I don't think Tommy Estella is going to platoon at first base. I think he's going to be the primary second baseman with a little bit of platoon. Last one on Tommy Estella. This one from Patrick Miller at Patrick Miller 51. What sort of trade value does Tommy Estella hold? So Tommy was an all-star last year, which makes you think that he has this really high trade value. Problem is he's coming off an injury. It's his free agent season. He's 31 years old, going to be a free agent at 32. And the power surge only came for 1 year. You know, last year he was a really good player. There's no denying he was an all-star. But the years prior, he was a good player, but, you know, almost a replacement-level player in a sense. You know, he wasn't even accumulating one war. And, you know, you can look at that however you want to look at it, but the defense just isn't there. So his value, unless he comes back and does what he did last year, his trade value is going to be pretty minimal. I mean, being honest here, especially he's going to be a rental. So you trade him, you know, yeah, you want to be able to acquire a frontline starter, and you've maybe got to use a guy like a David Fletcher or a Tommy Lestella, or Luis Renjifo. We saw that already. But I don't know. I think that you're going to see more value coming back from Fletcher and Renjifo than you are Tommy Lestella, who I think the return would be a bit minimal despite coming off an incredible year where I think you could argue he was the best second baseman in baseball going into the All-Star break. I'm sure that we could go back and find out that I'm wrong on that, but one of the best second basemen in baseball going into the All-Star break last year. Great season for Tommy, and hopefully that's the case this year as well. I would love to see Tommy have another year where he's going to be an All-Star. He's such a good guy, and it'd be great to see. We're starting to push our first segment time limit, so I'm going to kind of rush through a few here. Two from LJ Holly and Trout Season, basically asking, who are the guys we should be watching this spring training? Surprise guys. They might, you know, may crack the roster, may not. I've kind of continued to mention Adrian DeHorta, really good pitcher, pitched the other day, had a pretty good spot. I actually just touched on him on yesterday's show. Touched on Matt Ball as well in yesterday's show. Those are two guys. Obviously, you're going to be watching Jose Rojas. But there was a guy that pitched yesterday that I'm kind of big on, and it's Jake Thompson. Now, he ended up being the losing pitcher in the game, walked home the winning run with the bases loaded on a walk-off. But I really like the shape of his slider. I've always really liked the shape of his slider. The fastball was coming out pretty crisp. Command was definitely the problem yesterday. But, you know, first game of spring, that doesn't bother me one bit. I think Jake Thompson is a guy that's definitely worth watching when it comes to this Angels roster. He may only give you like 40, 50 innings in the season, but I think he's going to give you 40, 50 valuable innings. Another guy, Jacob Barnes, very similar case where I want to see Jacob a bit more this spring. But if two of those guys, you know, if Jacob Thompson or Jacob Barnes out of nowhere come out and give you 40, 50 solid innings, those are guys that I would definitely be watching this spring. They're guys I'm watching, so that's going to be the case. Just real quick here, there was very specifics on who would make the opening day roster. You know, above average spin rate is asking, is Jaime Barria going to be the fifth starter? Christian is asking if Luke Bard makes the opening day roster. Joe Adele fans is asking about Ryan Buchter and if he makes the opening day roster. But I think that this is the big part, is the Joe Adele fans, he asked, does Buchter make the opening day roster if he pitches well in spring training? There are going to be a lot of guys that basically, based on how they perform in spring training, and I'm not talking about the stats, I'm talking about performance and how they, and I know that stats and performance go hand in hand, but we're talking about, you know, are you spinning the ball great? Are you commanding things left, right, east, west, north, south? Is your velocity coming up? These are things you're going to be looking at, and yeah, Jaime Barria has a chance to be the fifth starter. Luke Bard is out of options, I believe, so he's a guy that kind of has to make the opening day roster for the Angels. Ryan Buchter kind of has to make opening day to be around unless you plan on trying to out or send him without options down to AAA. And those are the kind of guys that you may lose. You know, we look at Daniel Hudson last year, who closed out the World Series. It was just a case of some roster control that just didn't pan out. So these things are going to happen. There's going to be guys that perform well, put up good numbers, and look good all spring that just don't make the roster because certain guys are out of options, certain guys aren't. And, you know, let's say that, let's say that Patrick Sandoval is the guy that looks the best going into the season. There is a case where you have to hold him back to make room for some guys that don't have options, but you still feel the team going into the season is at its best. That's going to be tough. So, you know, we can speculate all spring long about what opening day roster is going to look like, but we're not going to have any idea until a week and a half before the season even starts. Speaking of spring training, if you want to head down to Tempe and check out the Angels, I recommend heading to www.visitarizona.com/springtraining. Got all kinds of information on hotels, restaurants, and all kinds of other tourism across Arizona. So check them out, www.visitarizona.com/springtraining. I got to get a water break, so we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, what's up? This is Sean Woodley from the Locked On Raptors podcast. Basketball is my first love, but man, do I love me some Shohei Ohtani. Here to talk about Ohtani and more is your host for Locked On Angels, Taylor Blake Ward.
Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I turned 14 questions into 9 answers in the first segment, so we're going to stick with the 20 questions remark that I started with. Take 11 questions here in the second segment. This one from Owen. We're going to start off with some draft questions here. This one from Owen at Country Roads 277, big draft fan, says, could be too early as many regions haven't started playing ball yet, but any high school pop-up guys? I don't know. I'm not going to say that we're going to talk about first-round pop-up guys, but a guy that out here really shined was Max Radzic. He's at Orange Lutheran High School. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Very high-end school when it comes to playing baseball and developing baseball players. But Max Radzic had a great game against La Mirada. That's where Jared Jones goes, a potential first-round pick, and pitched a one-hitter, was showing some new velocity up into the mid-90s. I believe he hit 94, but he's been up to 96 early in the season. So definitely a guy I would recommend checking out. Good command, pretty athletic kid. That's a guy that I would say definitely check out if you haven't heard of him yet. Max Radzic, and I've mispronounced his name how many times in this answer? Max Radzic of Orange Lutheran High School. Man, maybe I do need another water break. Let's stay on this draft topic and take this one here from Brian Suarez. He asked, do you think MLB would ever try and do something similar to the NFL Combine, bring the top 100, 150 prospects with all teams in attendance in San Diego or something before the winter meetings or something, televise it, and have interviews of some guys, help generate some buzz momentum for the draft? I don't think Major League Baseball would do this. I mean, they have televised rights to the draft on their own network, and they do a really bad job of promoting it. I think that Major League Baseball draft doesn't get the attention it should. I hate it, and I think that's a Major League Baseball problem. I will say this, you know, area code games and Perfect Game, you know, whatever your opinion is on these events, Perfect Game has the All-American Classic at Petco Park every August. Area code games at Blair Field in Long Beach. Under Armour puts together quite a few games as well. So I think it's funny that Perfect Game and Under Armour are doing a better job than Major League Baseball of pushing the draft. It'd be cool to see it. Winter meetings for a combine, I don't know about that because you don't necessarily want guys throwing year-round. Well, depends on who you ask, but you don't want pitchers throwing year-round for the most part, especially 18 years old or whatever it is. But you'd have such a mix of talent because you'd have high schoolers and you'd have these college juniors, seniors, even sophomores. So the mix of talent would be different. You'd maybe have to do it in multiple days and multiple kind of items. I'd love to see it, but I don't think Major League Baseball would ever touch that. They do a horrible job of promoting the draft, excluding some of their employees like Jonathan Mayo, Will Bohr, Jim Callis, Mike Rosenbaum. Those guys do great. But outside of that, Major League Baseball, they're terrible in promoting the draft. Moving on from that, we're going to take some basically Joe Adell-based questions, as we do, it seems, every week. I'm going to start with this one from Stephen Willett. Says, with Joe Adell looking great already, what moves will Joe Madden have to make him fit on the team? That outfield is already looking pretty crowded. So, Steve, just real quick, and you don't want to jump the horse. Yeah, he looks great in spring already, but you're talking about three at-bats in spring. I still think that Joe Adell starts the season in Salt Lake, whether that is for service time manipulation or that he actually needs the development. I think he still starts in AAA. But, yeah, the Angels are going to have to find a way to, you know, make some room for him in the outfield, whether that's moving a player in a trade, which we're going to talk about here. Actually, I'm going to kind of jump into this with Joe Bang, the question after, but you are going to have to make room for Joe Adell. It's just kind of where that's going to be, which leads to the question from Job Eng. It says, it's a good problem to have, but there are so many outfielders in the Angels organization. Besides a trade, how likely are position changes in the near future to find spots on the Major League roster? And who of Adell, Marsh, Adams, and Upton is more likely to change positions? Yeah, you do have to kind of do some things because you have some premium prospects that are all outfielders. It's not a bad thing to have. You see that teams can use this, platoon guys, and still get guys 100-plus games, even in the American League. But, yeah, you're going to want Joe Adell to play 150 games. You're going to want Brandon Marsh for 150 games, same as these other guys. I don't think that you're going to change where Joe Adell, Brandon Marsh, and Jordan Adams are playing right now. Jordan Adams, if you watched him yesterday, so comfortable in center field. If you're going to move someone, I think it's going to be Justin Upton. And I don't know if learning a new position in your 30s, that's pretty hard. So I think that what you're going to be looking at is you're going to have Brandon Marsh, Mike Trout, Joe Adell. David Fletcher is going to be there. If he's in the outfield or not is a big question. You might have Brian Goodwin. But Justin Upton can DH in 2 years when Albert's contract comes off the boards, and that's kind of how you can use him. You're only going to have Justin, I think, a year after that. I have to look at that. But, it's something you're going to have to worry about in about 2 or 3 years, more so than this year or next. This year is going to be tricky because of Adell coming up. But, yeah, you're going to have to make some moves, and I think that's kind of going to be your focus, is trying to get Justin Upton to DH or maneuver him out of the left field position. One more on this, and this comes from Ryan Mancuso. Says, would Angels consider moving Mike Trout to right field once Joe comes up to save his legs, or is center field too important to hand over to the rookie? I think if you're going to take Mike Trout out of center field, you're taking him out of the lineup for a day a week, where maybe when Shohei Ohtani is pitching, you're going to have him DH instead of play the field to save his legs. But no, Mike Trout's a better defender in center than Joe. I understand saving his legs, but Joe's going to profile really well in right field. Has the arm. Center field, he has the capabilities, but I think he's still better suited in right, and Mike Trout is going to be the better defender in center. You could move Joe to center when Mike Trout is not there, but moving him to right field as opposed to center field, it's not going to do enough to really save his legs per se, as much as using him as a DH would. So I think that's kind of going to be more of what you're going to see there. Next question comes from Kyle Ellis. Says, have they announced when Ohtani will get game time pitching, whether it's spring training or minors? So the expected return for Shohei Ohtani is about mid-April, and that means he's probably not going to pitch in spring training. Whether or not he goes on a rehab assignment to the minors is up in the air. Shohei Ohtani, the Angels protect him heavily, and understandably so. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was more him an extended spring, or him just pitching at Angel Stadium simulated games and then having batters kind of step in, and then maybe having him go out to extended for a game or two so he can face live hitters in a real game scenario. But, yeah, I don't think that you're going to be seeing him in spring training. I think you can almost promise that. And it is going to be like an April-ish return, so keep an eye for that. Jorge Aguirre is going to ask the next question here. Ask, is it me or do the players seem a lot more focused and relaxed now with the new coaching staff? It's like a brand-new feel this club has. Yeah, it does seem that way, doesn't it? This is from outside. I'm not in Tempe. I haven't been out there yet. I will be out there in mid-March. But, yeah, it does seem like the players are much more relaxed, doesn't it? I don't know about focus. I feel like the players were focused with Brad Ausmus. And I'm not sure how much Joe Madden, anytime Joe Madden's around, you're pretty relaxed. And that's speaking from some self-examples. I won't go deep into that. But, yeah, you get pretty relaxed with Joe Madden, and you feel good. So, yeah, the team definitely looks more relaxed, if you ask me. Next question comes from AJ Street. Says, there seems to be a lot of talk surrounding bunting in Angels camp. How do you feel about bunting? And as someone who isn't a big fan of it, should I be concerned? So my opinion of bunting is the statistics show that bunting does not improve your chance of scoring. So, yeah, by the numbers, bunting is probably not the best thing in the world. But at the same time, if you're using it properly and executing the right way, not doing it in every scenario and not throwing outs away, because you're basically, you know, every baseball game you're playing for 27 outs, right? It's a very simple game when you look at it that way, and throwing away an out is going to, you know, lessen your chance of scoring, lessen your chance of winning. So should you be concerned? No. I mean, bunting's fine as long as it's executed the right way and as long as you're not doing it just for the sake of doing it and, you know, moving a runner every chance you get. But, yeah, there is going to be people that are up in arms about this. I don't think that you should be. It's going to be more of the analytically inclined crowd that is going to be up in arms about this. I am very analytically inclined, but I definitely understand the case of bunting in certain scenarios. So I think just let it play out, watch how these scenarios play, and that's when you should sort of I don't think you should be concerned. I'll just go with that. Don't be concerned. Be happy. awkward laugh. This one from Troy Tripp says, what is your opinion on using normal lineups in early spring training games? I know it varies based on injuries and whatnot, but certain managers like Dave Roberts seem to play regulars first or second game into spring training. And I remember guys like Socha waiting at least a week. As long as guys are getting reps, I think that you're fine. It doesn't matter when they play. Obviously, your first game, you kind of want, you know, your first home game, technically, you want the home fans to be able to see the big-time players. You want to see the Mike Trouts, the Shohei Ohtanis. But as long as the guys are getting their reps, I think that's all that really matters. The guys that you kind of want early and all the way through spring are the guys that are on the fringes of your roster, whether that be, you know, a reliever that you need to see multiple times, a starter you need to see multiple times over, whatever it is. Those are the guys that I think you need to have in the early lineup, is those guys that are fighting for the roster spots. The guys that aren't fighting for those spots, the Mike Trouts, the Shohei Ohtanis of the world, as long as they're getting the reps, doesn't matter if it's day one or day 30, you know, just make sure that they're coming into the season ripe and ready. One thing I will say is with a week, week and a half left in the spring training, that's when I think guys should be regular getting everyday games, because you got to prep them for a 162-game season, and that's the best way to do so. Before we get to the next question, I just do want to make a note that I did miss some questions last week about the Houston Astros, including an email from Brett Miller that I really wanted to touch on. I am going to address that in the near future. We're actually going to have the Astros Locked On host here coming on later this week, so hopefully we can kind of touch on that. But I do want to get to this question. It comes from Grant Gordon, former Angels farmhand, says, I realize it happened with a big leaguer today, as in yesterday, didn't appear intentional, but today's hit-by-pitch on Altuve makes me wonder what happens if a minor leaguer plunks the Astros all spring. MILB and MLB are on good terms. Loophole to suspension. Curious on your opinion. I don't think I have a good answer for this because I don't know. You know, minor league baseball does have its rule package about intentionally hitting a batter. I think it's a 5-game minimum suspension for a minor leaguer. But, this is the thing, is Rob Manfred said, hey, we're going to punish guys that throw at the Astros. But he didn't say what it was going to be, so we don't know what the punishment is. And also, Rob Manfred just basically put a target on those guys' back. You know, he put a target on the pitchers that are going to be intentionally throwing at Astros hitters. So it's like there's a rule book, and then there's Rob Manfred's mindset, and where's the middle ground? And also, there's minor league baseball's rule set, and minor league baseball players who are not a part of Rob Manfred's mindset. So where does this come into play? I don't have a good answer because I don't know. I'm sure minor league baseball would address that as opposed to major league baseball, but I'm sure Rob Manfred would have plenty to say on it because a guy can't shut up. I don't know, Grant, but I think that it's going to be interesting to see what happens this spring, because regardless of if it's a minor leaguer or a major leaguer, someone is going to tag a Houston Astros player, intentional or not, and there's going to be some, whether it's retaliation or not, it doesn't matter, because some things are going to come up to where it looks like retaliation. Maybe a fastball got away, maybe it didn't, and someone's going to get in trouble for it. And whether that's Rob Manfred that puts down the punishment, Major League Baseball or Minor League Baseball, we won't know until it happens. Last question, I save it for last. This is from Stephen Fangmeyer, Racing Cowboy 3. Steven, I hope your season's going great, man. I got to come and check you out at Paris Auto Speedway. But he asked me, and I'm going to ignore the first part. Not ignore. I answered on air. But he asked me, who wins at Fontana? Obviously, if you're familiar with me, huge NASCAR fan, huge auto racing fan. I was in Vegas last weekend, going to be in Fontana this weekend. going to be in Phoenix the following weekend along with spring training. Who wins in Fontana this weekend? I'll say that number 12 card, Todd Gordon, has that thing running smooth, man. That thing, I will say this, that thing's loose and squirrely, but that thing's fast. I'm going to say that Ryan Blaney picks up the win. Team Penske getting some momentum heading into Fontana with Joey Logano. I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney here in my hometown. Fontana's not my hometown. My home track of Auto Club Speedway here in Fontana, California. So thanks for bearing with me, everybody. I had to answer that one. Always a good thing to talk about NASCAR, in my opinion. I'll do that all day. But thanks for your questions. That's all we have for today's show. You want to be a part of next week's show, feel free to email us your questions, TaylorBlakeWard@yahoo.com. Also, you can check us out on Twitter, @LockedOnAngels. You can follow me personally, @TaylorBlakeWard. Look for that tweet on Monday night saying, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight. Best ones make the show in the morning. We'll do it again next Tuesday. If you want to download today's show or subscribe to Locked On Angels, you can do so via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcasting platform you're using to listen to today's show. Reminder, today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place. For Locked On Angels, I'm Taylor Blake Ward, reminding you to dot your I's, cross your T's, and stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you tomorrow.